Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio, episode 278. Today we're talking with actor and writer Simon Fisher-Becker about a brand new book he has out, Let Zygons Be Zygons. We'll talk about some of his acting career, and we'll get into some more as well. All that right now. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain.
And for those of you longtime listeners, thank you very much for tuning in again to episode 278 of Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. Every week we try to bring you someone new from the world of pop culture, be it TV, movies, comic books, or video games. For the people who might be new, perhaps this is your first entry into Geek to Me Radio, thank you very much for finding us. Hopefully you'll enjoy this episode. And I would also encourage you to go on to geektomeradio.com, check out our back catalog of our other 277 episodes where we've had some fantastic guests, especially recently. I'm very pleased with who we've had on the show. Some great conversations with a lot of great creators, authors, writers, directors, musicians, composers, actors, and more. So hopefully you'll be able to check those out. If you haven't already done so, please go to youtube.com, find Geek to Me Radio, and hit that subscribe button. We are trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year, but considering this is already late December, that probably will not happen. But there's always next year. I'd love to try to hit that 1,000 mark. So if you could smash that subscribe button, I would appreciate it. And of course, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Geek to Me Radio. With that said, my guest is waiting. Right now we're talking to actor Simon Fisher-Becker all about his work he's been doing lately and, of course, his new book in the third in a trilogy he has out right now. Simon, how are you?
I'm tickety-boo. It's all very exciting time. We're coming up to Christmas. Although I'm not at a Christmas show this year, I've got plenty of work.
Good. That's always staying busy, I think, is the what keeps me out of trouble anyway. I'm not sure about you, but
yeah, it's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And I know I wished it to you on Facebook, but haven't seen you. So happy belated birthday, even though I did wish you a promptly on your birthday. I want to make it known.
No. Can I take this opportunity to thank everybody who wished me a happy birthday? It was my 60th.
Wow.
It is a milestone that everybody in the past told me I wouldn't reach.
Oh, really?
But most of them have died, so See? It doesn't really matter.
So they're not even around, so you can rub it in their face. How awful is that?
That's just so typical of them. Really.
Was it just naysayers, or what was that? Or were they just trying to be cruel? What was that about?
No, it's because of my size. Because of my size, you know, you're not going to make it. I was originally told on my 16th birthday I probably wouldn't make it till 30.
Wow.
Of course, then 30 passed. And so they upped it to 40, and then 40 passed.
So it's
and of course, the next time, 70 is more or less the 3 score and 10, isn't it?
Right.
So in that sense, it's a bit sobering.
So it's like the weathermen. They get it wrong, and they just kick the can down the road a little bit.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I do have mobility issues. And I do have things wrong with me, but they are more to do with me being beaten up.
Mm.
So rather than actually having sort of ailments.
And that's one of the things, too. We can dive right in because this is, you've got these trilogies out. You had My Dalek Has a Puncture, My Dalek Has Another Puncture, and now the brand new book available now, Let Zygons Be Zygons. Bullying is a big thing, obviously, for everybody. I think everyone at one point or another has been bullied, but this is something you feel very strongly about and you've rallied against.
Well, first of all, the books came about because, as you know, when you go to conventions, we all end up doing panels. And a couple of times I was by myself, and the moderator, as you call them in America, didn't materialize. So I just had to go on and do it myself. And it happened twice. So what I've done is I have a PowerPoint presentation. I think that's old fashioned now. I don't know. But I use the PowerPoint presentation as the interviewer, as it were. Ah. So when the next slide came around, that gave me an idea of what to talk about. Plus, because it was pictorial, it gave the audiences ideas of asking different questions. And it sort of developed into a one-man show.
Hmm.
And I did a tour. I took every opportunity to do it abroad whenever I went abroad. And I've been advised that because I did more than three performances, it's considered an international tour.
Ah, see, there you go.
So there you go. Anyway, it just happens in the UK. Dan Grubb, CEO of Fantastic Books Publishing, whatever I did or said in the show, he came to me and said, you've got to put this into book form. And he commissioned me initially to do My Dalek Has a Puncture. But then by then, I'd created a second show called My Dalek Has Another Puncture. And so he commissioned me to then do another puncture and let Zygons be Zygons. So the first book is really just a little bit of history with anecdotes up to the point that I'm offered Doctor Who. Then another puncture is more anecdotal about the making of Doctor Who and my experiences and what happened as a consequence, along with other anecdotes. And Let Zygons Be Zygons is really dealing with the feedback that I've got from people, because I've said things, and then particularly when I was in theatres, after the show, I'd end up doing another 40 minutes in the bar, because people would come up and say, you know, when you said dot, 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 and then they start telling their version of a similar story. And then over time, I've become a sort of agony uncle. people have been writing to me, you know, you've had this experience and that experience. I've had similar. How did you do it? And things like that. So I never tell anybody, this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. I always think that's a mistake.
Right.
But I make suggestions, and I just say, this is what worked for me. And so at least that is a starting point. Because just like everything in life, we're all individuals, and we deal with things in different ways. So, in a former existence, I was an HR manager, human resources. And one of the things you're taught is that individuals learn in different ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And teachers will know the same when they've got a class full of 30 people. Maybe 10 of them learn in a practical way. Others listen in a visual way, and others just take it all in and absorb it.
And some don't listen at all. There's always those kids, too, who don't listen.
Yeah. There are always those who are staring out the window.
I may have been one of those in grade school.
Well, I think at times I have to put my head up to that as well.
But that's interesting, too, because a lot of obviously we're going down a different path here, but there's talk of education, how the education system needs to be reformed, because not everybody learns in the same manner. Like me, for example, I'm a very visual person. I always say monkey see, monkey do. Show me how to do it a couple times and I'll catch right on. And then repetition is my friend. Some people, like you said, just absorb it and be like, yep, I know exactly what to do. No further instruction. So it's very interesting how every person digests information differently.
Yes. It is. And also, now I've got older, I find I actually thoroughly enjoy doing research, which when I was younger, oh, God, the thought of having to, but yes, I actually thoroughly enjoy doing it because I do regular vlogs now. I have my own YouTube channel, which I vlog. But I'm also a co-presenter of an Australian-based show called the No Name Trivia Show, I'm a co-host of it, but I also have a weekly Simon Says.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and for the No Name show, it's because the show is governed by a letter of the week. Mm-hmm. So I select two or three items that begin with the letter. Say for this week, it's the letter N for Noddy.
Okay.
Choosing to have a quick word. And then I try and find collective nouns beginning with N. So that's my Simon Says. And then there's another show that I contribute to called The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS.
Yes, we share the stage with them.
Yeah. And they've enjoyed that. And Christian Basel has asked me if I would do Simon Says Sci-Fi. I've done a few. I haven't been as regular as I hoped to, but funny enough, I've changed the sort of work I do because of COVID, gradually the words got out there. So I'm quite busy doing other projects.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're pretty busy. So I don't know if you can take on much more with everything you've got. My goodness, that's a lot to have going on.
And I have to say, doing the vlogs and everything was wonderful. And also being asked to appear on the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS and the No Name Trivia Show helped give me some structure to a week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And helped me keep my skills exercised, you know.
That's one of the – I've been a panelist on there several times. Christian does a great job. So those of you who are listening on Twitter, at The Travel TARDIS, and you can also find them on Facebook, Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Look them up. Give them a like and a follow because they do some fantastic shows. They're covering the current Doctor Who flux. They're going live every Sunday, I think, covering that. That's keeping them busy too.
Yeah. But it's good too. I can appreciate how some people can get into a deeper slumber about things when things aren't working, and the pandemic definitely hasn't helped.
Yeah.
But I have found more and more people are turning to television and to radio and other forums for entertainment, whereas my entire working life, I've been told, I don't have a proper job. You don't understand. You don't know what the real world is like. Whereas, of course, my books highlight I absolutely do. And I'm currently working on a documentary called Bigger on the Inside.
Oh, neat.
They chose that title purely because of my connection with Doctor Who. But it's basically highlighting disability awareness.
Hmm.
Meeting different people with different disabilities, both the obviously physical and also the ones that are hidden, and also going to people who are supposed to be helping us all out and making rules and policies to help us, and trying to establish why it doesn't always work.
Mm.
So it's very good. And they've used my anecdotal books as a template.
Okay.
So I've had an opportunity to go back, for example, and see my family house where I was brought up as a kid. Yes, so that was part of it. Was a bit cathartic as well.
And it's kind of funny you mentioned staying busy and how people have said, you know, you don't have a real job, because when we first physically met was actually at Geekonomic Con in Oklahoma City in 2016. We briefly met, but then I got to see you. You came to St. Louis for the Toy Man Toy Show, and we had a lovely time at the St. Louis Science Center for their Doctor Who first Friday night.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. And seeing a full audience and down is as if they're looking down a cone, and I was this little figure at the bottom.
Yeah. Like the IMAX theater there.
It was nice to be seen as little.
But you mentioned, I remember you saying that a lot of your friends think you're a bit of a Walter Mitty because, you know, you're doing all these jobs. But I thought that was really the way you put that kind of clicked. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting that people kind of view you like that, because I obviously know you as an established working actor. You're constantly doing stuff. But that's interesting. We'll take a quick break, come back and continue chatting with actor and author Simon Fisher Becker. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Alex Kingston. Welcome back. No spoilers, but you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We're back on Geek to Me Radio. This segment brought to you by Bugs Comics and Games. BugsComicsandGames.com. Check out the website. If you are a fan of comic books and you're one of those people who show up every Wednesday on New Comic Book Day to get your comics, Bugs Comics is giving you a way to save a little money with inflation out there and everything else. You can join their Avengers Club. You pick out a character, Marvel or DC or independent. Bugs not picky about that. You pick your character, and then you'll get an Avengers Priority Identicard. Like my friend, his character is Death, Neil Gaiman's Death, so Death is an Avenger. So it doesn't matter your character. You can be Rick Grimes, you can be Batman, doesn't matter, as long as the character's not already taken, obviously. And then you start gaining a discount on your weekly books. He will do a pull list for you if you want to order ahead and have them waiting for you. If you're outside the St. Louis area, maybe you're not in the St. Charles, St. Louis area, check out the website, BugsComicsandGames.com. You can order your books through there and have them shipped to you safely. No supply chain issues to worry about. And Bugs always, I've seen him send out some stuff and some packages, and he packs them really well. A lot of back issues as well, obviously, toys and other fun things. If you're getting ready to get a last-minute Christmas gift, a Bugs Comics and Games gift certificate would be the perfect gift to give that geek or nerd in your life. If you don't know what to get for them, let them pick something out on their own. He's brand new. He just opened at the end of October, Halloween weekend, if I'm not mistaken. And so it'd be great if you could go onto his Facebook page. Just go onto Facebook.com, look for Bugs Comics and Games. Give his page a like. Give him some love. And he always posts some pretty cool things, he and Tim. He's a longtime comic book fan, and he's got some great insights. He'll help you find something to read if you don't know what you want to read. So check it out, BugsComicsandGames.com. I'm a huge fan. I know Larry personally. I've been going to Bugs for years. He was took a hiatus. Now he's back with his comic book store again. So it's very, very pleasing to see Bugs Comics and Games back out there. Check out the website, BugsComicsandGames.com. And of course, look him up on Facebook and give the page like Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. With that said, Simon Fisher-Becker is my guest this hour. And right before we took that last break, we were talking to him about his feeling about he's sometimes seen by friends and family as a bit of a Walter Mitty type.
Yeah, because initially a lot of work I did, what didn't appear on television or anything. I was touring in plays and musicals. And as you know, as being associated with the industry, very weird and wonderful things do happen. But, you know, it does sound as if you're exaggerating half the time. And what has been wonderful when doing this documentary is I'm sort of saying to the producers, right, we're going to do this scene here. Now, I can tell you a little story. And as we've gone along, we've just happened to bump into somebody who then repeats exactly what I said.
Huh.
And the perfect example was an old neighbour who I didn't know still lived in that road. He saw us filming and came over and said hello to me. And at first, I didn't quite recognise him, but his name was Frank. And it just, as if somebody had pushed a button, he just splurted out everything that I had sort of told. I said, what I want to cover whilst I'm outside my old house is X, Y, Z, and maybe A, B, C too. Well, this guy, Frank, came and just spilled it all out in one go. So I'm hoping they've got that fully on camera because, I work in an industry, you work in an industry where fantastical things can happen. I mean, I remember in Oklahoma City, there was an earthquake.
Yes, that was very scary.
There was an earthquake. And I've not really witnessed one of that strength. Before. I mean, in the UK, we do get little tremors, but they're nothing compared to the States. And then I think somebody said sometime when we were in LA, there was a sinkhole.
Oh my gosh.
You know, yeah. And so then to physically see a sinkhole and then report what I saw, people think you're just making it up or you're just saying what you saw on television. And I don't know why they're like that. And then, of course, now I'm doing more and more stuff that appears on screen. Then those people who are trying to throw me off my kilter are sort of chewing wasps now.
But it's so much fun, too, that I know recently with Big Finish, which Big Finish audios are so incredible to listen to. And you mentioned during the pandemic, I know I've listened to a lot more Big Finish because I'm like, well, I'm working from home. Let's plug in the earphones and I'll download this story. So you just got to revisit Dorian Maldivar in with the Doctor's Daughter, who obviously played by Georgia Tennant.
Yes.
And that must have been
that
a blast.
That was wonderful because they brought Dorian back, which is lovely. And the previous audio I did was for the 11th Doctor Chronicles. And there was a story where Dorian comes back. So I thought, oh, this is lovely. But what I didn't get to do is actually to meet everyone.
Oh.
Because of the pandemic, we all stayed at our individual homes and we recorded. And fortunately, Tony, my husband, he's got a lovely professional setup in his music room. So we just had to do whatever technical things you have to do. He played my engineer, okay. My and we were asked to record it as well so that they'd have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing when you listen to it, you just wouldn't know that we were in completely different studios. And thanks to Doctor Who, I have to say, I was asked as a guest artiste on a thing called The Hawk Chronicles, written by Steve Long.
Hmm.
And I get to play an MI6 agent.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so and I was asked to do one episode as a guest, and that was episode 103. And I've just recorded number 172.
Oh, nice. Ah! So a recurring
character.
So I've
become a regular. So that's lovely. And I can do that from home. And the technology today is so much greater than it was when I started out. I mean, yes, Tony's got his professional studio, but the Hawk Chronicles, I can record on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they just send us the script and we are all asked just to record our lines. And I can record it on my phone and just send it down the line as an email. It's absolutely extraordinary.
So what type of detective do you play? Are you a hard-boiled hard case, or are you kind of a rookie detective?
I'm a sort of set in my ways.
Okay.
And I've recently acquired an assistant, which suggests he might take over.
Hmm.
You know, because the character I play is the same age as me. So.
Oh, okay.
In theory, I was going to say I should be collecting my pension soon, but in the UK, we get a state pension at, quote, retirement age, which was 65. But they recently put it up to 66. And I think by the time it's my turn, it'll probably be nearer 70. So, which is a bit mean, because when I was 16 and got my national insurance number, I was told I could retire at 65. And as far as I was concerned, that was a contract.
Right.
And it's been broken. It's been broken by the government. It's been broken by the government. Now, why does that surprise me?
I was going to say, at least that's something the UK and the US have in common. You can't really trust anything the government says.
I mean, I am critical of politicians of all colours because I'm an individual, which they don't like.
Yes.
Yeah, an individual is dangerous because they can't be easily led.
If you can't be part of the collective hive mind, then that's
It's. But I also appreciate that there are a lot of very hardworking, genuine politicians who have set out to try and make some sort of improvement. But the mistake they always make is they promise something.
Yeah.
And it's not always possible to do it within the time frame, if at all.
Right. And red tape if I'm going, way.
That's right. If I'm going to be honest about it, but at other times you can end up in an extraordinary situation, as we are today.
Exactly right. And I guess during the pandemic too, you had some quality time. You were able to work on the newest book, Let Zygons Be Zygons, or was it pretty much wrapped by the time the pandemic hit?
Yes. No. Where was I? With Zygons, it was by the time the pandemic started.
Okay.
The structure of Zygons was in place. It was just a case of writing it. But also at the same time, I've written a TV series, which has now at last there is a production company looking at it. So it's a waiting game. So I'm not going to say anything more because I don't want to jeopardize anything. But that's very exciting. And also, what was exciting about that was I had certain actors in my head playing certain characters. And when I'd finished it, I sent it to a few of them, including a couple of Doctor Who actors. And the feedback from the actors has been really overwhelming. So I'm chuffed.
Good, good.
But of course, you know, there are those who say, well, actors will say they love it, isn't it? Because they just want the work. But no, I think quite genuinely, some actors are actually more fussy about what they would like to do. And so for them to say they're happy to be associated with the project, at least, is for me a feather in my cap. But wait to watch this space.
All right. Well, we'll definitely expect an update on that as well.
Yeah.
So
and I keep busy doing these things.
Oh, yeah.
And also conventions were becoming more... what would you call it? More doing it this way, you know, doing it by a Zoom call. And I know I was recently asked if I'd be interested in doing a Zoom appearance. I think it's Minneapolis.
Oh.
And is there an event in Minneapolis in January?
There probably is. There's so many conventions in the United States. I'm lucky to be able to go to like between half a dozen or so a year. But man, there are for every one I go to, there's 50 that I don't get to go to. Take our next break. Come back and chat with Simon Fisher-Becker about doing conventions and meeting the fans. The thing that I love more than anything else, getting out there to those conventions, getting to hobnob with fellow fans and meeting people like Simon and others like him. We'll take this commercial break. Come back. Stand by.
Hello, I'm Sarah Sutton. I play Nyssa in Doctor Who, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we're back. The show, Geek to Me Radio, would not be possible without the support of our premier sponsor, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. You, of course, know them by the website discoverstcharles.com. I cannot believe we're at the end of December here almost. It's right around the corner. Hopefully you finished your Christmas shopping. If you haven't had a chance yet to get out and do your Christmas shopping, let me suggest the many, many stores and small businesses and gift shops and boutiques along historic Main Street in St. Charles. That's one reason in and of itself to get out and visit St. Charles and historic Main Street and all that area down there. Christmas Traditions, the longest running and largest Christmas festival in the country, goes on every year. It's the 47th year here in St. Charles, and you can get out there and visit with international gift givers from around the world like Père Noël, La Befana from Italy, Santa Lucia, and of course you can talk to Ebenezer Scrooge, Jacob Marley, and a host of other characters. It's just a great time with the scenery, the cobblestone streets and the old buildings and these Victorian characters. There's the World War I truce out there. You can kick the soccer ball around with them. It's really a great time. And as I mentioned earlier, the small businesses you're supporting by getting out there and shopping at places like this really is so important. If you've never been to St. Charles before, this would be a great time to go. There's never a bad time to visit, but Christmas is always a great time to visit St. Charles. You can start by planning your trip at the website discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. And if you can't make it for Christmas, make it your New Year's resolution in 2022 to check them out. Once again, the website discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. As we took that last break, we were chatting with author and actor Simon Fisher-Becker and asking him about just kind of got into the conversation about doing the conventions and for him meeting his fans.
No, that's right. Because in the UK before the pandemic, basically there was a convention of every high street.
Yeah.
At one point, it got a bit silly, in my opinion. But they're fun. They're always fun to do. Can be very tiring. I love meeting the fans. I love meeting fellow professionals. And I do enjoy and miss traveling to other countries, if only from the window of the aeroplane to see how beautiful the planet is.
Yeah.
And I remember one year flying to, I think I was flying to Houston, but it was the year, I'm trying to remember the year, but it was the year that the whole of America got covered in snow, including Florida. It's around 2016, 17, around then. And the route of the flight from London is to go up past Greenland and then come down via Canada. And from 33,000 feet when there's no cloud, the whole of America and Canada looked like a giant Stollen cake. Yeah. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I love meeting other people and particularly Americans and seeing the differences between us. Because all too often you hear news reports and documentaries and you can get a very skewed and misleading impression of other people. But if you can get the opportunity to go and meet and talk, because that's one of my mantras, go out and talk.
Yeah.
Meet, you learn all sorts of things.
I can't remember, was it Mark Twain or maybe Mark Twain who said the best cure for any kind of culturalism or racism is to get out and travel, is you yes. meet people and you interact with them, and that kind of assuades you of any notions you may have had preconceived.
Yeah, is he also the chappy who said something along the lines that England and America are separated by the same language? or something along that line.
That sounds like a Twainism. Yeah, that could have been. But that's one of the things, too, during the pandemic I missed so much were the conventions, because, I was doing about a half dozen a year. And then I went to Gallifrey One in L.A., a big Doctor Who convention there in February of 2020, and then that was it. So I know it's the same with you. You love to travel and everything like that. Are you still looking at, like you just mentioned, the Zoom one in Minneapolis? Are you booked for any in-person conventions at this point?
I did two this year in-person conventions, but both of them were in the UK. Mm. I've not yet been I think I've been sounded for L.I. Who and Chicago TARDIS next year.
Okay.
Which is hopefully, then we got a year now, hopefully things will have settled down.
Let's hope so.
But, you know, at the moment, you know, things appear to settle down and then this new variant. I mean, we're dealing with viruses. And I think part of the problem for people is education. I think a lot of people don't appreciate a virus you can't get rid of. It has to run its course. And so whatever the vaccinations or whatever are just helping to protect us for getting the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But there we go. It's very sad. I've lost quite a few friends. My Christmas card list is definitely much shorter than it was. It's very, very sad. Some close friends, fortunately not family members, touch wood.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad indeed.
Yeah, it's really kind of changed the way things are done. But like you said, these Zoom ones, I understand the appeal of it, and I'm telling you right now, it's one of the things a lot of people have said. Without these conventions, the Zoom conferences where you get to attend the panels and everything virtually, a lot of people, that helped get them through a rough year. But for me, it's always so much better, obviously, in person to meet somebody, to say, you know, face-to-face, to interact with them. That's what one of the things about the conventions I missed was the actual contact with the person.
And for me, so I'm going to have a drink. I very much appreciate and understand. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today if it wasn't for the fans.
Yeah.
Whatever I did in the Pandorica Opens as Dorian, it grabbed the imagination of the fans, and it's partly because of them that Dorian came back. So I do like to. I sort of joke. I like to meet the fans, shake their hands and thank them for my new bathroom. but although I joke about it, there is an essence of truth about it all.
Yeah.
Because Doctor Who, I've always performed, every year I've performed either on radio, television, film, theatre, whatever. Then in 2009, I was recovering from attack. I was beaten up at a petrol station, or gas station, as you would say in America. And I was in the recovery process. And normally at Christmas, I'd be in a show, but I wasn't. And so therefore, I was available for the audition for Doctor Who. It's very... It's very strange, really.
Not the way you want to get the audition, but it's fortunate.
Well, there are easier ways. I could have just not been offered. Right. Panto, that, yeah?
Yeah. 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 Ooh.
So I had to have a rethink about certain things. I've had to adjust to a certain level of things. And this is where you then start finding that a lot of people make comments which are actually not true at all. I mean, so many people said, "Oh, Simon, what are you going to do? You're not going to get any work anymore." And I remember saying to myself, "It's, you know, it's my back that's damaged, and it's my legs that don't work as well as they did. But my voice still works. I could still do radio work, surely."
Yeah,
you know, and I had to, you know, hands out to the BBC. I've done quite a bit of work for the BBC, you know, with them knowing what my limitations are. Mm-hmm. And at a certain level, I would say they can smother rather than mother.
Oh.
Sometimes with their consideration. But I've had no, as far as I'm aware. In fact, the only time I had an issue was many years ago. I was at the read-through of a production, and somebody with a clipboard came up to me to say there was a problem with the insurance. And I was being asked if I'd be prepared to pay the insurance premium for the project, pay it for it myself. It's only because there were certain people around that I didn't use more expletives. But what I said was, I'll be happy to pay it, but if you don't call upon the insurance during this production, I will want double the money back.
There you go.
Anyway, she went away and I never heard from her again.
Must have worked out then.
I either wasn't insured and I didn't know it, or they just paid it and said, But again, that reason was a definite discrimination. It's because of my size. Mm-hmm. And there is the assumption, rightly or wrongly, that large people are going to have more problems than thin people. But in reality, it can be the other way around, because no disrespect to your good self, but there are a lot of thin people who are hiding things like bulimia and other disorders, other eating disorders. I think there are two things I have to deal with. There are those who just assume I sit on the sofa all day eating Mars bars or donuts. And you just have to get over that. Are you sure? There have been occasions that the casting directors haven't called me in because they didn't think I could do a certain job. So I said to my agent, I said, can you just let them know? I would prefer it that I can show them I can't do it.
Yeah, at least give me the chance. That's...
Yeah.
Huh.
But there you go. I don't want to sound like a moaning mini, because I just have to get on with things. Those are the cards that have been dealt. And you just have to get through it. I do have the wonderful support of my husband, who puts up with me. He puts up with me mainly because he was a musician in his time. So he understands how the industry works. And he is very critical at times. If I do a piece of work and he thinks it's crap, he'll tell me. And then I tell him, well, that bit of crap is going to pay the mortgage for the next 3 months. Yes.
As long as you have that open give and take relationship, that's all that matters. You can be honest with each other.
Well, we've been together 30 years now.
Oh, wow.
So
congratulations. That's 2 milestones this year then. Yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it is very funny because, 2 years ago, we were sort of half saying, well, 30 will be clocking up soon and I'll be 60 the same year. I suppose we should plan something. But then, of course, then the pandemic came along.
Yeah.
Came along. I must admit, most of the work I do now, I'm solitary as a writer. It is a solitary occupation. I do get out to do things. And when we do get out to do things, we're sensible with the social distancing. You know, establish what the rules are. Listen more to the science. Mm-hmm. Than to the mantra. And yes, there were periods of going down to the supermarket. That was the highlight of the week.
Yeah.
but I'm also lucky. I live in the country.
Mm.
So we can leave the house, and there's less chance of us meeting lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but you know, it is a town. There is a town, but we live in a little village just outside the town, and there's swathes and swathes of fields and rivers and things. So
that's nice.
I'm very lucky in that sense. And I talk to my family via Zoom. I talk to friends via Zoom, but it's not the same as them being with you.
Definitely.
And that I definitely do miss.
Yeah, we just obviously we had Thanksgiving here in America, and that's one of the things a lot of people were like, do we get together with family or not? But I think it's one of those things are better here as far as movement and people being able to gather and things like that. We haven't certain states are doing different lockdowns different ways. But so, yeah, that's always hard, especially you. I have a friend who hasn't seen her family, physically seen her family in over a year. So it's rough in a lot of cases. We're going to take our last break, come right back. And finish our chat with Simon Fisher-Becker. Please stand by.
Hello. My name is Sylvester McCoy. I want you to listen to Geek to Me Radio. Otherwise, if you don't, I'll cry.
Welcome back to our final segment here on Geek to Me Radio. Want to make sure we tell you about our official movie sponsor, Marcus Theaters. MarcusTheaters.com is the website. Go to the website and you can find the Marcus Theaters or Movie Tavern location closest to you. Locations in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, and Wisconsin for Marcus. And of course, their associated movie taverns, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin. If you're in any one of those states, you're a very lucky person because you can see a movie in the best possible surroundings and settings. And of course, some of the great movies out there. Nightmare Alley is out in theaters as of now. You can get your tickets for that. Of course, Matrix Resurrections is coming up here very soon. You can pre-purchase your tickets right now to see it on their Ultra Screen DLX, Super Screen DLX, or IMAX. That would probably be a good one to see in IMAX. As I'm recording this right now, I just left the press screening for Spider-Man No Way Home. That's when I'd recommend seeing in IMAX. Our press screening was in an IMAX setting, and it's just eye-popping visuals, the sound. It's really the best way to see a movie. But there is no wrong way to see a movie as long as you're seeing it at a Marcus Theaters location or a movie tavern location. And right now, if you're looking for a last-minute holiday gift idea, some stocking stuffers, holiday gift card offer, 15% off gift card purchases of $25 or more. You can go on the website to get those or at your local location as well. If you want to pick those up while you're there, make sure you enroll in the Magical Movie Rewards program so you get points for seeing movies and buying your concessions. I'm very, very pleased that Marcus is partnering with us. I've always been a fan, and it's great to have them and that I'm able to tell everyone else how great Marcus Theaters is, the movie-going experience, the quality, the staff, the cleanliness, everything, all the way down to the last detail. I couldn't be happier, and you will hopefully be just as happy if you purchase your tickets at MarcusTheaters.com for the best movie-going experience in the galaxy. We're wrapping up our talk with actor and writer Simon Fisher-Becker discussing just kind of in general. We talked about his acting career, the stuff he's done, and his book, Let Zygons Be Zygons, his brand new book in his trilogy. And as we exited the last segment, we were talking about dealing with the pandemic in the UK versus the US.
Yeah, because I live north of Birmingham. So it's the Midlands, we call it in the UK. And my mother and my brother and most of my other rest of my family live on the south coast.
Hmm.
I've got another one who lives in Scotland.
Oh, wow. They're all over.
So they're all over. And I've got very close family friends who live on Anglesey, which is an island off of the north of Wales.
Oh, wow.
They're not so technically equipped, but they do have a telephone.
We have regular
telephone calls. But it's very curious because having spent so long doing video calls with my mother and my brother, we had some power failures at a certain point. And so for about 3 days, I couldn't actually do a video call.
Hmm.
And I found just talking to them on the phone, it wasn't the same as it used to be.
Yeah. Now you get that video connection, you know, and too.
And yet 25 years ago, I would have thought nothing about talking to somebody on the phone.
It's like if someone had to go back and watch a silent movie now, or like, what is this? Where are the words? Where are the... We get so accustomed to something so quickly. It's fascinating.
I mean, the new technology is fantastic when it works.
Yeah. When it works, that's the key.
And also when it's invested in.
Yeah.
Because one of the things, I had to do some research for another forum. And then one of the things I discovered is that nuclear fuel can be cleaned. So there is the possibility of having less nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say less, it literally a fraction of a fraction of what is currently the situation. It just needs a little bit of investment. And plus the side effect of that is you've got masses of fuel.
Yes.
So it could be cheaper.
Yes, we'll see about that. We'll see how that goes. But as I know, we're kind of coming up. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I want to just ask a question too. Obviously, you're part of the Harry Potter franchise. You're part of the Doctor Who franchise. We need to get you. We have to have the triumvirate now. We need to either get you in a Bond film or maybe in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so we have that trilogy, that triumphant trilogy going for all three. It's a hat trick.
Absolutely, I'd be very happy to be with another extremely popular franchise. But above all, I just like to keep working.
Yeah.
And there've been some fantastic job things that I've done. If people want to check my IMDb page, you'll see what I have done. There's a series called Puppy Love, which I adored. And in some ways, Doctor Who fans, please close your ears now. In some ways, working on Puppy Love was better than working on Doctor Who.
Oh, my God. And that was another BBC production, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so
it was going to go into a second series, but then somebody like HBO or some American TV station bought the rights to do their own version.
And I, for those of you listening, you might want to close yours again. If you're listening to this in the U.S., UK shows are generally better than U.S. shows. I'll put that out there, too.
I have no objection to American companies doing an American version. But, you know, why don't they just invest in new writing?
Yeah.
Let's give a few writers an opportunity. Because there are so many cinema complexes where you've got tens of screens. You know, why can't one screen be an art house?
That'd be great, yeah.
You know, yeah, just one screen. Likewise, we've got hundreds of TV stations. Why can't one or two of them be just an opportunity for fresh talent to have at least an airing? And why not just accept that sometimes it's not going to be up to scratch. But, you know, you've got to... I was talking to a friend of mine who was married to a comedian. And he said that comics today don't have as many places to go and die. they've got to learn their craft and practice it and mold it. And so that's why when they start out, they will do these dirty little dives, as they were called, just to hone the what they could offer. But there's fewer and fewer of them now, and that works exactly the same for actors, for producers, for directors. And there is a lot of I One thing I have got involved with is a lot more independent projects, because a lot of them tend to be outside of London or other cities. So things which haven't been too far for me to travel to, I've got involved with. And there is a huge amount of extreme talent out there that deserves an airing, or at least some form of support.
Yeah, we've got the right below us at the big 550 in the radio station. Right below us is the Funny Bone Comedy Club, and they've open mic night every Tuesday, and that actually draws more of a crowd sometimes than some of their headliners, because it is these people who are coming out. You don't know what you're going to get, so it's great for the comedians. It's great for the crowd to kind of see something new. But I also, we were talking about technology to kind of circle back to that. So many people are, you can shoot a movie on your iPhone these days. And a lot of people I've talked to some actors and some independent producers who have done these movies that are, in many ways, the talent and the story are head and shoulders above some of the stuff that the big budget production houses are putting out. So it's really kind of cool that A, people have a lot more platforms, and B, we had that technology in our pocket to be able to do this stuff.
Yeah, if we got time, I could go a little quick story.
Yes, please.
Regarding Harry Potter.
Yes.
There's currently, they've got the Tournament of Houses, Harry Potter and the Tournament of Houses. And I was contacted, and of course, I couldn't get to LA. So they came to me.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I couldn't get to LA, so LA came to me. And they literally, they came and took all the furniture out of my living room and set up a green screen. And you were talking about matchbox-sized cameras. Well, this huge thing, the size of a Dalek, came. Yeah, they had a camera the size of the Dalek. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But I can't get access to the show, which is currently running. And if it is anyone who could send me a link to the first episode, at least, because I think it involved Hufflepuff House, and therefore it would have involved me, it would be very nice to say. So that's a plea.
Sure. Well, anyone listening, we can definitely make that happen, and I'll see if I can find it as well.
If there's a link, I don't know, but it would be great to see. But then you see, that's an example of me being Walter Mitty.
Exactly. See, oh no, they came to my house with it. Sure, they did, Simon. Sure,
LA, come to, yeah.
You know, I always have such a great time chatting with you too. I'm so glad we're able to do this, and I want to remind everyone listening once again: there's the trilogy is out now, the complete trilogy. So, Let Zygons Be Zygons is currently out. And of course, if you haven't yet, you can go back on Amazon and get My Dalek Has a Puncture and My Dalek Has Another Puncture. If possible, we always recommend that you try to support your local bookstore. So see if they can order it for you. That way you're supporting a small business. But if not, obviously, you can go to Simon's website as well, which is?
Fisherbecker.info. So it's my surname without the hyphen. Fisherbecker.info. And I can send you signed copies.
Perfect. And we'll put a link to your website in the show notes. So if you're listening to this right now, just scroll down the page and there'll be a link to his website in the show notes. Simon Fisherbecker, I am very grateful for your time. Thanks so much. It's always a joy to talk to you. And in this case, those of you listening don't know, but we're actually seeing each other as well. So it's a great pleasure to see you again.
Yeah. Thank you. I've enjoyed myself.
Thank you. That's going to do it. Another show in the books. My thanks once again to Simon Fisherbecker. Make sure you check out his book, the final in his autobiographical trilogy, Let Zygons Be Zygons. You can get it again through his website, fisherbecker.info. Of course, if you can, order it from your local bookstore. We always recommend that. But I appreciate Simon's time. As always, great to chat with him. Thank you to Joey V, as always, for making this show sound as good as it does. And getting us where we need to be with everything. Couldn't do this show without his help. Hopefully he knows it, and I know all of you listening certainly know it too, the times I've talked about Joey V. Thanks again to our sponsors, Discover St. Charles, Bugs Comics and Games, and Marcus Theaters. And until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound. To me.
Thank you, London. Good night.
Hey, kids. Are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.